This episode of IREM Today is brought to you by ProScape, providing landscape management and snow removal services for clients all over southern New England. Call 401-886-7000 or visit them online at proscaperi.com.
The following paid program is furnished by the Institute of Real Estate Management, Rhode Island, Chapter 88. It's for basic entertainment and informational purposes only and is solely responsible for its content. It does not necessarily reflect the views of Cumulus Media, its management, or its staff. Now on AM 790, it's time for IREM Today, the property management show with host Jason Martins. Join Jason for this live call-in show to discuss property management issues and hear from guests from all trades and programs discussing your real estate needs. Here's your host, Jason Martins.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to IREM Today, the property management show here on AM 790. I'm your co-host, Christy Denalian. We are your live local radio show here on AM 790 every Tuesday. We do have Jason Martins in the studio. I don't want to get everybody nervous, but no Dina today.
Dina's not here.
Dina is not. She's not feeling well, so we wish her the best. That's it. You're like, Dina's not here.
I'm letting you run with it here. That's all.
There's a lot of these fun syndicated programs on the radio station, but we're not really one of those. That's Jay's joke. He loves it. We are fun, moderately entertaining, but we're just not syndicated. We're live in the studio every Tuesday talking all things property management. And in case you're wondering or tuning in for the first time and you're wondering, what is IREM? What is that? It stands for the Institute of Real Estate Management. It's the most professional group in the country for managing real estate. Locally, we are the Greater Rhode Island Chapter 88. People might be wondering, what does IREM do? And what does the Institute of Real Estate Management do? We are the source of education and professional recognition for managers of all types of properties. So whether you manage an elderly housing building, or maybe you manage a single family home or a tenement building, then the Institute of Real Estate Management is for you. People that are looking for a career in property management, maybe they're looking for something different, or maybe they want to have some kind of training, some kind of education, or even a designation, so that way you can be recognized as a professional property manager. When you have that type of designation, it means that you have some sort of credentials stating that you are a trained professional in property management. The Institute of Real Estate Management offers two of them. We have the ARM, which, what does that stand for?
Accredited Residential Manager.
Yes. And then there is the CPM designation, which is?
Certified Property Manager.
He's listening to me today. And that's like a degree from Harvard.
Sorry, did you say something?
Yes, I know. See, exactly. Every day, every week. But the CPM is actually what Jack refers to as a degree from Harvard.
No? I'm telling you, it's the top of the line, baby.
We had people last week getting their CPM.
That's right.
Along with the installation of
That's
officers.
Right. Yeah, we can talk about that
yeah,
later.
Yeah, we will talk yeah. about that. But if somebody walks into your place of business and states that they're a CPM and they're looking for work, you know that this person has been trained properly, professionally, and is backed by a code of ethics. And this will get them in the door to have an opportunity. If they didn't have that type of designation, they might not have the same opportunity. What's wonderful about IREM is that they're willing to train people to get the correct education. There are some companies that will even train people for the CPM designation, or we also have a training program, which is our scholarship program. If you wanted to go online and just fill out the application, I think it asks for a couple other things, maybe a resume, and you can fill that out and send that in. And if you, let's say you're not ready for a CPM or an ARM, we also offer an associate membership, which you can just go on and just pay to be a member, and you'll still have access to all of the tools and training and tips that we have on our website, IREM.org. No?
That's right.
And we do have a couple of events that are going on that we can talk about a little later in the show. We have in January, we have our what's it called? The
Membership Appreciation Breakfast.
Yes.
That's tremendous.
That's what it is.
That's a free event for members, by the way.
It is.
Yes, Membership Appreciation.
Or it's $20 for those that aren't.
Yeah, cheap enough. You get a breakfast in there, and you get... we're actually, it's going to be interesting because we have a lot of committees, And we're going to have tables set up around the room where you can go and talk to the different committee members and see if there's anything that you might want to be a part of. And if you want to join and become a committee member, then it's an easy way to get more information about that and kind of sign up.
Yeah, and if you are interested, you can always give Karen a call at 401-479-7734 for any events that you know we will mention in the show. Mm-hmm. Or if you have any questions for us in the studio, you can always call us in studio because we are live at 401-437-5000. Mm-hmm. Now we do have we are going to have a little guest today. Which
a
is
little
exciting.
Guest?
A big guest.
He's a tall man. Have
he's
you met
very
this guy?
He's very, very tall, tall, and I'm very short, so I think that he's even probably taller than what he is. It is John Whaley. He's one of the lawyers at O'Leary Law Associates, and he's going to be joining us today to talk about disparate impact.
Disparate impact, that's right. And some other things. We'll ask him some other questions, too,
yes.
Right? So is he on the line?
I think he is. He is. We can
hi.
Put him through.
Yeah, say hi.
Hello, John. Are you there?
Hi, Chrissy. Hi, Jason.
Hello. Thank you.
How are
thank you?
You
for joining us today.
My pleasure.
We were nervous that you weren't going to come.
Go ahead. Yes. So go ahead. So Jonathan, we were talking about a couple weeks ago, talking about some different issues and that IRM has on their agenda that they're looking out for 2017 and. Mm-hmm. One of those that they have their eye on is disparate impact. And so there are a lot of people who might be listening and they're not quite sure what that is and what does that stand for? What does that mean, disparate impact?
Yeah.
Can you kind of just break that down quickly as to what when we're talking about disparate impact, what that is quickly?
Sure. Well, there are basically two theories of discrimination that that tenants or applicants or former tenants can bring. The first is what we typically think of when we think of discrimination cases, and that is, generally speaking, treating one group of people preferentially as compared to another, particularly a protected class. But there's another one out there which is becoming more common, which is disparate impact discrimination. And the main difference between the traditional discrimination or discriminatory intent cases and disparate impact cases is that there's no intent required at all. So you could have no intent to discriminate, apply a policy or procedure uniformly across the board, and still be found to be committing unlawful discrimination. Mm-hmm. And that would occur when a neutral policy disproportionately impacts one protected class of people more than another. And a good example of this, which actually came out of Rhode Island, was a case in which a housing provider had a two-head per bedroom policy. So for any number of bedrooms that two people could be residing in that unit. And the federal court here in Rhode Island found that policy, despite having no discriminatory intent behind it, and being uniformly applied, had an adverse, disproportionate impact on families with young children, and found that the housing provider who was applying it, again, despite having no intent to discriminate, did indeed engage in unlawful discriminatory conduct because the two heads per bedroom policy had a disparate impact on families with young children.
So the discrimination there is based on family composition then.
In that particular
yeah,
case,
in
yeah.
That one.
The discrimination in disparate impact cases is based on the result or the consequence of the policy as opposed to the reason for the action being taken. One way to survive that allegation, even if a policy does have a disproportionate impact on certain people, is to justify the policy with a legitimate business purpose. Right. And in that particular case that we were discussing, the housing provider was not able to do so and therefore did not survive that allegation.
So if you have a policy that might be considered discriminatory, even though it may not violate any current laws, I guess, but could be found to be somewhat discriminatory without the intent of being discriminatory, you need to have some, you need to have a justifiable reason for having that policy. Now, I'm guessing that most managers aren't probably thinking that far ahead.
Exactly.
And they're going to get jammed up when they get called to court for something where they never intended to discriminate against anyone.
Exactly. And these cases are particularly tough because of that. They're hard to anticipate and to really understand whether or not a policy that you have in place is having a disparate impact on certain people. You need information that most housing providers don't have readily available, statistical information, demographic information, so that they're really, really difficult cases to analyze sort of before they get started and to try to prevent. The best thing that you can probably do is to just be aware of the legal landscape around you and trends in these types of cases, mm-hmm. And pay attention to what particularly the Rhode Island Commission for Human Rights is looking into, and try to stay ahead of it that way.
Yep.
And, of course, to make sure that any policies that you do have in place are supported by a legitimate business purpose, and not just, for instance, because they've been around for a while, or because the prior management company that was there before you had the policy, but they should all have some valid purpose to being in place.
So now, let me ask about this. A different aspect of this. If, you know, we talked about, you know, discrimination, unintentional discrimination against a family composition.
Mm-hmm.
But there are other ways that you could, because you talked about discriminating against certain class of people. But what about someone who's just got out of jail, someone who has a criminal record within the last 3 years? Because a lot of property managers, a lot of companies, we have a policy where, hey, if you've committed some type of crime, particularly a felony in particular,
mm-hmm.
or a violent crime within the last 3 years, 5 years, depending on the company's policy, would that qualify as well?
It may. And this wasn't a case that was decided recently, but HUD issued a memo maybe 6 months, maybe a year ago on this topic. And they basically asserted the opinion that they believe a occupancy or an admissions policy which rejected certain applicants merely on the basis that they had certain convictions alone would have a disparate impact on certain minorities.
Mm-hmm.
So they suggested to housing providers that they don't reject applicants based on the existence of convictions themselves,
mm-hmm.
but rather look into the facts and the meat of what those convictions were based on to determine whether or not any individual poses a specific threat to the health and safety of the community.
So, Jonathan, correct me if I'm wrong, but that sounds to me like essentially throw criminal record or background criminal checks right out the window. Because now, really, someone could bring a case against you because they had some type of domestic violence or whatever it might be. Well, domestic is
particularly against violence. It could even be something as simple as like a vandalism charge or something like that where it could be to a property.
And they were convicted on that,
right.
And they come out and you say, well, you know, you have this on your record a year and a half ago, so we're rejecting you based on that, and you could have a case brought against you because of that.
You may,
yeah.
But you would stand a pretty good likelihood of success if you could state in response to that allegation that, look, we didn't reject this applicant just because he had this charge, but we looked into it, or these charges, and what we found was not only a pattern of criminal convictions, but a pattern of behavior which indicated to us that based on that specific behavior, this applicant would cause a threat to the health and safety or the management of the community. And if you can state that, and better yet, back it up with records or whatever you may have on file, you're likely to survive that claim because you're not basing it only on the convictions, but you're going, you know, one layer deeper and looking into what the actual behavior was itself.
Interesting. Jonathan, we got to take a break here. Got to check some traffic and do a little business here. Are you able to hang on? Can we talk a little more after the break?
Sure.
All right. Let's put Jonathan on hold.
Yeah, we'll be right back right after this. You're listening to IREM Today, the Property Management Show.
Now back to IREM Today, the Property Management Show with your host, Jason Martins, on AM 790, your station for talk and business.
All right, 424 here on IREM Today, the Property Management Show here on AM 790, your station for talk and business. I'm your co-host, Chrissy Danalian. We are live in the studio every Tuesday from 4 to 5. Before the break, we were talking with John Whaley from O'Leary Law Associates just about some disparate impact issues. And he had mentioned about a particular case that happened in Rhode Island where there was a couple that had recently had a child and they were kind of being forced to go into a two-bedroom. So I have actually a question for John.
Go ahead.
yeah. I was wondering, he had mentioned that there was possibly a business, if there was a business reason for the decision for them to go into a two-bedroom, or a business reason for the policies that were in place.
Mm-hmm.
So something like that issue where they had just recently given birth to a child and kind of being forced to go into a two-bedroom apartment. Would a legitimate reason be for fire safety?
It possibly could be, and that's one of the reasons that the housing provider attempted to raise as a legitimate business reason for the policy. Mm-hmm. But they didn't have the information or the statistics or the expert opinion to back it up and to prove that that having, for instance, three people in a one-bedroom apartment would actually create a fire hazard. Had they had that information, they may have been able to justify the policy, but without it, they were left with little to nothing. The main basis for their policy that they asserted was the town or the local building code, which they interpreted to basically restrict the number of occupants that could actually reside in their one-bedroom units to two people. But the court found that they misinterpreted the building code or were advised incorrectly of the building code by the local building inspector, and therefore that also did not constitute a justification.
So I know that now it's based more on square footage. Mm-hmm. In reading the summary that you had sent over, it sounded like there was, 150 square feet, but they were required to have 170, or is it opposite?
I don't have the numbers in front of me right now, but you're along the right lines.
Itself, not the whole apartment, just so we're clear on that.
Right, right.
Tiny living.
And the Rhode Island has one uniform building code, which is helpful if you're managing properties in different towns, different cities. And the building code is, in situations such as this, really what you should be relying on, so long as you're interpreting it correctly.
So the bottom line is that there are a lot of property managers out there right now who may be discriminating without even knowing it, unintentionally.
Without knowing it and without intending to, they may be engaging in disparate impact discrimination.
I
want to be clear. These other property managers, if other property managers are engaging this type of policy, perhaps they have a better justification than this particular housing provider had, or has the information, the statistics, and the expert opinions to back it up. But in this particular case, the housing provider did not.
But it's more than just policy now. You can't just say, well, this is just our policy. You don't realize you're discriminating. Now you have to take it a step further. You have to do research. You have to get your paperwork in order. You have to have everything lined up in case this happens. You have to go to court. Now you're paying, no offense to Jonathan, but you have to pay your lawyer.
And they can sue for punitive damages and compensatory damages as well.
Sue for a law.
They can. For punitive damages to be awarded, that would be only the most egregious offenses.
Yeah.
but certainly they can seek, you know, whatever they want. What they're actually awarded is often a different story.
Interesting. All right. Before we ask you about something else, any final thoughts on disparate impact? What a property manager who's listening, what they should know about this?
Just something that I touched on earlier. Know what's going on, you know, around you. Know what the Rhode Island Commission for Human Rights is looking into, because they're active in the state. They were created to look for discrimination and to enforce the Fair Housing Act, and they're going to test housing providers. They send out testers who are hired to go out there and pretend to be applicants and to look for issues like this.
Wow.
So just be aware and know what's going on.
Wow, that is interesting. What do they call that? Isn't there a word
it's
for
a
that?
Tester.
What
yeah,
is
that's
that?
That's what it's called.
No, but there's another word for it.
Shopper? A tester?
I
a shopper?
I don't know what that is.
Like a secret shopper.
Yeah,
I don't know. It sounds shady.
Yeah, they sent somebody over in the case that he sent over to us and pretended to have a three-family living situation and asked for a one-bedroom.
You know, we're actually going to ask you a few more questions, but I just realized we're actually at the bottom of the hour here and we have to take a break. But maybe we can have you on again and ask you some more legal stuff and ask you some more questions.
That'd be great.
Another episode. Sound good?
Certainly.
All right. Interesting. Jonathan, thank you for reaching out to us about this. It's always good to give our listeners and other property managers some information about things that are going on. Because these laws, this just changed, about a year ago, right? Didn't the Supreme Court rule on this? Wasn't it
a
case out of Texas?
Almost a year and a half ago now,
yeah.
The Supreme Court held that disparate impact cases can be applied to the Fair Housing Act.
Yeah,
and sort of since then, we've been seeing the rise
more and more cases.
Even locally in these cases.
Yeah. Interesting. All right, Jonathan Whaley from O'Leary Law Associates. If someone wants to get in touch with you guys, how can they do that?
They can always call 401-615-8584. Or email me at jfw@o'learylaw.com. Go to our website, o'learylaw.com.
Okay. Thank you very much, John, again, for joining us. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back right after this. You're listening to IREM Today, the Property Management Show.
Now back to IREM Today, the Property Management Show, with your host, Jason Martins, on AM 790, your station for talk and business.
Okay, 4:35. Welcome back to IREM Today. If you're just tuning into us, IREM is actually the Institute of Real Estate Management.
It actually is.
It is. And we are the source of education and professional recognition for managers of all types of properties. We are here to provide you with the tools, training, and tips you need to best run your property. I encourage you to get online, go to our website at iremri.org, and get all types of there's all types of information on there, from jobs to some of our local vendors. And you can go right on there and you can even fill out an application for our scholarship program. The Institute of Real Estate Management, if you're looking to have a career change or a career that's different every day, gets you out of the house, we are here to give you the opportunity to make a career in property management. A lot of people who get into property management industry really make it a lifelong career. The people that you deal with, the networking, everyone is really wonderful. It's something that you hear from going to all of these IREM events. They always say, what a great group of people. The vendors that we deal with are terrific. The camaraderie that's established through IREM is really unbelievable. You are talking with people that have the same interests as you, the same kind of like-minded people. Property management is a great career. I can attest to this. It's different every day. If you're tired of just sitting in your cubicle or punching numbers all day long, and everything is the same, and you want to do something different, if you want to drive around your property, converse with your tenants, it's really a great opportunity, a wonderful career path. Maybe you own a two-family, but you never thought it would be a career for you. Well, there are opportunities for you to get out there. Or you can get one of the designations that the Institute of Real Estate Management offers, such as the ARM, which we mentioned earlier in the show, Accredited Residential Manager, or CPM, which is a Certified Property Manager. We have seminars on training and education in property management. Becoming a member of IREM, you have access to all kinds of documents that are free for you just by becoming a member of IREM. We're talking about lease agreements, management agreements, hundreds of other documents. Maybe you aren't ready to become an ARM or CPM. There are associate membership that's available for you. And then you can even move on to your ARM or CPM. So we were going to be talking, we were just talking in the studio about a couple of different things that are going on in property management. And that IREM actually had, one of the articles was about Amazon. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes?
Yeah, the internet sales tax. Right? Yes. Everybody's heard about this, right? So IREM follows a lot of different, policy and legislation around the country, you know, to keep our members up, you know, up to speed with what's going on. Talk about education, right? That's what IREM does. And so a story came out yesterday, out of Denver, Colorado.
And what's it about?
Well, it's about what they call the Amazon tax, which is internet sales tax, essentially. So basically, most people know when you're shopping online, for example, Amazon, you don't pay a sales tax, and you're technically required to pay the sales tax anyways to the state on your own, but no one actually does that.
On your tax returns.
I think there were like 10 people who did that last year, and that's it, in the whole state of Rhode Island. So, yeah, on your tax return, you're supposed to pay that sales tax to the state, but nobody does that. So
how does this relate to property management?
Well, I mean, property managers, think about it. We manage all kinds of buildings, not just residential, but we also manage commercial buildings. So you drive down, you see these little plazas, right, with these mom-and-pop stores all over the place. Well, property managers manage those types of buildings, and we want to see them busy. So if someone can go online and buy the same product and not have to pay the sales tax, then they're less likely to go into a store, and we want to see as property managers
and support local business too.
Exactly, we want to see them going into the brick and mortar stores, the local stores. So IREM is in favor of internet sales tax. So in Denver, there is a case where they passed a legislation called the Amazon tax, and essentially what that is it puts pressure on online retailers to collect the sales tax on behalf of the state, and then submit that sales tax to the state. Well, that adds additional paperwork and additional expense to the online retailer. So obviously they were against that. Well, the Supreme Court yesterday refused to hear the case, which essentially lets stand the Court of Appeals decision to approve the Colorado's Amazon tax measure. And so now the state of Colorado can go ahead and start forcing online retailers to not essentially forcing them to collect the sales tax. But if they don't collect the sales tax, then there's going to be all kinds of red tape and paperwork for them to do. That would be be more expensive for them to do that paperwork than it will be for them to actually collect the sales tax.
Yeah.
So U.S. Supreme Court said, we're not going to hear that. We're going to let stand the U.S. Court of Appeals decision on this. And so now that kind of opens the door for other states to go ahead and start passing their own legislation to put pressure on these online retailers to either collect the tax or go through a mountain of paperwork. And so it's kind of a big deal. There's really no appeals from this because they already went to the appeals court, and the appeals court validated the law. So now Vermont, I know, and Louisiana have their own similar bills going through their state legislatures. And so if that, usually what happens with these types of things is once state passes it and it gets challenged in court and the U.S. Supreme Court validates it or doesn't want to hear it or upholds it, then other states start following suit. Right. Like, hey, what did you guys do? Let's do that too. And so believe me, Rhode Island will not, any chance for the state of Rhode Island has a chance to collect money, they're going to jump right on. So don't be surprised if that starts happening here pretty soon. Now, this case took 6 years to develop. I mean, it started in 2010 and that they passed this legislation. And at the time, the lawsuit was actually filed by a company called Data and Marketing Association, which actually they changed the name. It's now called Direct Marketing Association. They're the ones who actually filed the challenge in Colorado, and it's taken 6 years to get the Supreme Court, and now here we are. So again, don't be surprised now if other states, including Rhode Island, start passing legislation that will force these online retailers to start collecting sales tax on behalf of the states. And again, why does that matter to property managers? Because property managers, we manage the brick and mortar stores. We manage these local stores that, where you will physically go in and start and buy your items, buy your groceries or whatever it might be, or your clothes, whatever it might be. And, well, I guess some clothes isn't taxed. I know Rhode Island doesn't have a sales tax on clothes. So, but you could, you know, whatever the item might be, a TV or whatever it is. And so we support, obviously, the local brick and mortar stores. And the more we can create a competitive atmosphere and competitive environment for the brick and mortar stores, then that's what IREM is going to support. So that's where we are. So don't be surprised, folks, living in Rhode Island, if
your Amazon purchases start getting taxed.
The prices are going to start going up. And it's not just that they're going to collect the tax. If you think about it, now they either have to have someone in-house to actually physically collect. Tax, right? So now it's going to be people, you have to pay those salaries. There's paperwork involved in that. So their costs are going to go up, right? So here you go.
Then they're going to be forced to go back to the brick and mortar stores.
So the days of shopping online cheap might be coming to an end here pretty soon. So
unless you shop in China, maybe.
Yeah, I guess so. Just shop in Chinese retail stores. So there you go. Now, speaking of Amazon, though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they are. And speaking of brick and mortar stores, they are trying to open several grocery stores. They're going to try. Well, I think they're just starting with 3 right now, but they're looking to get into 35 states at 2,800 locations.
What are these stores? What are they all about?
They are markets, actually, like grocery stores.
But they're not just like a regular grocery store. What happens is, you know, people might not have heard this, but it's a store called Amazon, right? The online retail, the online giant. They plan on opening local grocery stores, right? I guess we're going to start with groceries. And the name of the store is called Amazon Go.
Yes.
And how this works is before you walk into the store, you open up your Amazon app and
you pull up your car.
And you walk into the store and you scan your phone on a scanner as you enter the store. And now your phone and the app knows that you're in the store. So you're going to the store and you're picking up groceries, you know, picking up yogurt, you're picking up some milk, you're picking up bread, whatever it might be. The app automatically knows that you've picked up these items and put them into your basket.
That's not creepy.
So now you've got your basket full of your groceries. And normally what you do is you go to a register, right, and see someone and they scan your items and you
but
pay
not,
that person.
Not with this.
Not with this. What happens with this? Do you know?
No, I'm guessing that you just check out right on your app.
No checking out. You just walk out of the store. You don't have to type anything on your app. You don't have to do anything.
And then it just automatically charges
it. Automatically knows. It knows that you've left the store, and boom, it charges your account.
So we don't need workers at all.
Well, the only workers you're going to
need any workers.
Is someone to stock the shelves and be there for customer service. Someone needs some help. That's it. No more cashiers.
That's crazy.
No more anything. And think about, I mean, it's going to save you a lot of time because now you don't have to wait in line. Well, I got to stand behind this person who's got 2 carriages full of groceries. And then, you know, they didn't, now they got to go back and check the price because they're, you know.
It's going to save them on money, too, for costs for labor.
Amazon,
labor costs,
right?
Yeah.
Of course, yeah. It's going to save them a ton of money. And now think about. So Amazon's going to open a grocery store like this, and you know people are going to start taking advantage of it. What's going to happen with the big box stores?
Yeah.
The local stores. I mean,
Whole
you know,
Foods,
you got these little local places.
Dave's Market.
Terrific grocery stores. Now, what are they going to do? They don't
Market Basket.
They don't have an app, right?
But do they have people that bring your groceries right to your cart? Right to your
Do
car?
They do that?
Market Basket.
Yeah, but what about the ease of leaving the store without having to check out? How are they going to compete with that? That's amazing. I mean, think about it. I mean, it's interesting. They're going to have to walk with you and scan everything. Okay, I'll scan it for you.
But what if you don't have a phone like that? What if you don't have an app?
I don't know. How are they going to compete?
You can't go to Amazon.
How are they
going to
compete? So Amazon, now, what did you say? They want to open up 35 stores?
I think, no, initially they're opening 3.
So the first stores are opening in Seattle, is my understanding, right?
Yes, in Seattle. And then they're going to be opening up 2,800 locations in 35 states.
2,800 locations. Yeah. Imagine this. And the name of the store is called Amazon Go. So if you don't have the Amazon app, on your phone, you're going to want to get that because apparently that's not how you're going to do your groceries. So Amazon is really kind of changing the landscape here of shopping. It's just amazing, and employment apparently.
Yes, we're gonna talk more about some things that are going on at IRAM.
Okay.
In January, and our event that happened last week in a little bit. But you're listening to IRAM Today, the Property Management Show here on AM 790. We'll be right back after this.
Now back to IRAM Today, the Property Management Show with your host, Jason Martins, on AM 790, your station for talk and business.
All right, 450 here on IRAM Today. So we were just talking, we're going to be talking about like some upcoming events that are going on, which is very exciting.
Hey, what about this last one?
That last one was really good. There was a special guest that was inducted, I think, right here.
That's right.
In studio today.
Installed as an officer, as treasurer of the chapter. How about that?
That was amazing.
That's a big deal. Can you believe someone put their trust and their money in me? That's unbelievable.
I believe it.
You do?
100%.
All right, good.
Come on. You're the star of the show.
So yeah, but it was a terrific night. I mean, we had dinner at this restaurant. I think we were in Las Vegas for the restaurant, right? Oh, we were in South Beach.
It was the beautiful glass sculptures on the ceiling.
Was the place nice? We were at Jackie's Galaxy in North Providence on Mill Spring Avenue. Was I right about it or was I not?
It's beautiful.
When you walk in, you're like, where the heck
am I? Took me forever to get there, but it was.
Did you find parking, by the way?
I had to park on some side street. Okay. I had to get a ride, but
I got there a little bit early. I did get a parking spot.
I did not. But then by the time I walked there was plenty of parking.
But I was right about the building, though, wasn't I?
It's beautiful.
It's amazing. Inside. Like, you know, there's not many places in the state that look like that. It was really
beautiful.
Really special.
And it was really good to see everybody came out with tons of toys for tots.
Yes.
The Marines were there to collect all the toys.
Wasn't that nice when the Marines got a standing ovation, right?
They did.
Wasn't that nice?
Who started that standing ovation?
I did, actually.
I know you
How'd
did.
You know that? How'd you know it was me? You saw that
you.
I started?
I was in the back.
Oh,
like,
you're
oh,
funny.
You started
I did start
it.
I jumped right up.
Jumped right up.
I can't believe you just said that. I didn't think anybody noticed that.
Of course I noticed.
Oh, that's fine.
I noticed.
Oh, here he goes.
Come on.
I did.
I was like, there he goes.
I started the standing ovation for
that's
the Marines.
That's okay. They deserve
did you stand
a
up?
Standing ovation. Yes,
they
I think the whole room did.
The whole room did stand
the
up.
The whole room did because, I think that it's great what they do.
Yeah.
You know, and then all the toys that we collected, it was like overflowing the table onto the floor, onto everything.
Right.
So.
When we talk about IRAM members and becoming a member of IRAM and hanging out with cool people and great people.
And giving back.
That's what we're talking about. I mean, look at how many awesome people that there are in our group that they gave all these toys for tots. Isn't that amazing?
I know.
Really great group of people. And so it was a great night.
Yep.
And
they installed quite
good.
A few, I think, what was it? I don't know. Some ARAMs, some CPMs.
I think we had four new CPMs, was it? Is that what it was? Or was it
the ARM? So.
Anyways, we had a number of new CPMs and ARMs, so that was great. That's always fun to get more people involved. And I brought my wife, and I know Carrie, our new president, she brought like her full family. I think she brought her staff and everything.
Yeah, I think
that's
staff
amazing.
Was
it's
too.
A big deal. I mean, that's kind of a big deal to become an officer and become president of the chapter. Just a shining example of really great people. So
and the camaraderie between everybody. And everybody just kind of supports everybody throughout. So
this is what I tell people. When we talk about IRAM, and for those of you listening and you're, you know, property manager, want to meet people who are also property managers, I tell people all the time, it's like, you know, when you get, you know, if you want to be around people who like the same kind of things you do and that kind of, and like real estate and like properties, get involved in IRAM. I mean,
and it was
just
really
amazing.
Fun listening to overhearing some of the stories. We always talk about the stories that property managers have.
Yeah.
And I was just, you know, standing there and I overheard a couple of women talking about different issues that were going on at their property. And it's just funny that, you know, you're not the only one out there that's dealing with some issues and to kind of bounce ideas off other people that might be going through the same thing as you. Because it's sometimes a challenging business to be in.
Sure.
But I think that having other people and relating to what they're going through and you can kind of have that funny banter is kind of fun.
Well, there's no question you have to have a certain personality to be in this business.
You do.
There's no doubt about
it. Tough
skin. There's no doubt about it. So what else is going on, Aaron? What's on our schedule?
We were talking earlier, but there is an event that's coming up Wednesday, January 11th. It's a 12 acres in Smithfield. It's a during the day function.
Yes, it's a morning function.
Yes.
It's our member appreciation breakfast. And we do it every January. This is going to be terrific. We're actually going to announce our 2017 charity recipient at that breakfast as well. Yeah, that's a big deal. It's actually something different than I think IRAM has ever done before. charity-wise. And it's really going to be a special announcement.
I thought you were going to give a spoiler.
I am not going to give a spoiler. I'm not going to do that because I want people to come down and check it out. It's going to be really, really amazing. And it's what's the date again?
The date is Wednesday, January 11th.
At 12 Acres in Smithfield.
In Smithfield. But you will need to it's required to register. Even if it is free for members, you would need to go online. You can go online and register. You can call Karen and register. Mm-hmm. Either way. But for friends of IRAM or guests or potential members of IRAM, it's $20. Anybody that's a walk-in member would be $20. So you have to register prior to.
But if you're a current member, it is free to attend.
It is free.
And let me tell you something. The breakfast there, not for nothing. Don't tell anybody this. The breakfast at 12 Acres is really good.
Really good?
I'm just saying. Don't tell
probably.
Anybody, though.
We talk about the bacon a lot. But the registration and breakfast buffet begin at 8:30. So that is a very exciting event. We encourage everybody to attend. I was actually talking to one of our friends, mm-hmm. and she stopped by with some chocolates. And I was like, yes, chocolates. But I did tell her about this because she was saying that she wants to be part of a committee, but she's not sure what committee to join.
Perfect.
So I told her, I said, well, we're doing a breakfast January 11th. You should attend. Mm-hmm. And she said, oh, well, I'm so glad that you brought that up to me because I'm not sure of where I fit in the mix.
Perfect.
That's
the other thing that we're doing differently at this breakfast meeting is that we're going to have tables set up around the room with the different committees. And so you can go around and talk to each committee and find out which ones that you're interested in and what might be a good fit for you and kind of get involved in IRAM, get to meet people and kind of set the course, I guess, for the chapter and help be part of something.
See
it's really,
where
really
you
great.
Can, see yep. where you can help
it's
out.
It's really great
or,
opportunity.
You know, I know Dina belongs to a couple of chapters, a couple of
committees
and mm-hmm. you belong to a couple
Two,
of
yeah.
committees
mm-hmm.
as well. And there's also going to be people on hand to discuss ARM and CPM designations. Mm-hmm. There's going to be scholarship applications there too. So
yep.
you could even fill one out there. We talk about it almost every week about the scholarships.
Now, Chrissy, if someone shows up at this thing and
I'm not giving a sip of my diet soda.
Well, what they say, hey, Chrissy, I listen to you on the radio show. What are you going to give them?
I'll give them a piece of bacon.
Piece of bacon. I'm giving people a sip
bacon
of my diet soda.
Is way
I mean, that's
than
pretty
diet
good.
Soda.
Nick, what would you rather have? Someone's bacon or a sip of someone's diet soda? Which one's better?
Bacon.
Definitely. Right?
I'm going for the bacon.
Bacon. You can have a piece of bacon.
All right. We're going to see who gives away more, a sip of diet soda or bacon. Anyway, when is it again?
It is Wednesday, January 11th at 12 Acres Banquet. You can go right on our website at iramri.org and register. Or you can give Karen a call.
401-479-7734. 401-479-7734. Great show, by the way. Jonathan Whaley was our guest.
Yes.
And if anyone missed part of the show, what can they do?
They can subscribe to us and go on iTunes and search for IRAM Today. And I figured out how to leave a review right on there. So I know that we've been talking a lot about a review, but if you just search for us and click the icon, you can actually write a review.
All right, awesome.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you next week. This episode of IRAM Today is brought to you by ProScape, providing landscape management and snow removal services for clients all over southern New England. Call 401-886-7000 or visit them online at proscaperi.com.